say health cannot have vibes, well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With health vibes. Health. Every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health vibes. Health. Education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan Defoe and Trudy Kristen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday, so be sure to tune in. Every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Introducing Jolly's Pharmacy, brand new website, www.jollys.dm. It's your time to jump the line. Shop now at jollys.dm and have your items delivered in the comfort of your office. No more standing in line. No need to use your lunch hour to shop. Hassle-free shopping, safe and secure. Jollys.dm features rush delivery, 1 hour. In-store pickup, regular delivery, 5 p.m. Cut-off time, 4 p.m. It's your time to jump the line. Visit us at Jollys.dm. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
We're here with you this morning on Health Vibes. It's a pleasure being here with you this morning. It is Wednesday, the 20th of March, and we are, I think yesterday was the beginning of spring in the US, and I think for many of our friends who reside over there, they are happier that the weather is making a turn, so you have they've come out of the winter season, now getting into spring, and very soon summer will be around. Good morning, happy Easter period to you. It's like I could maybe say that
still Lent.
Almost
Easter.
Yeah, but you know, most of the schools have begun their inter-school sporting events, so there are a lot of Arab sporting activities that are happening. It's a perfect weather for such. Very, very hot on the outside. But even today, though, I find it's a little breezy as well on the outside. So it's a pleasure being here with you again this morning. We want to say especially good morning to you, special good morning to you. You may be on your farm at this time, making sure that, you know, we get some good food. Good morning to you. You may be at sea trying to catch some much needed fish. Good morning to you. Or you may be in the office listening to us with your headphones on or an earpiece or something. Good morning to you. You have stuck with us for many, many years. And we do have listeners that are glued every Wednesday at this time. And we do have a very large fan base from overseas. And we are saying splendid good morning to you as well. Trudy, good morning. I know you've been busy like a bee.
Yes, Carlton, good morning. Good morning, of course, to all our listeners of Health Vibes here on Q95 FM. Carlton, you said good morning to a lot of people. I always like to single out our constant listeners of Health Vibes. And there are a few who I haven't heard for a while calling into the program. Mervin, good morning to you. I don't know where's Mervin, but good morning to you. And Carlton, of course, I meet people all the time who say, we listen to the program every Wednesday. Yes. So I'd like to say good morning to these people. Mr. Baltazar recently said that to me, you know. So good morning to all our fans, you know, and the people who tune in for the information that has vibes about health every Wednesday. Good morning to you all.
And our retirees and our elderly people, good morning to you as well.
Yes.
Just reminders, just before we get into our main discussion this morning, again, our 5K run. Register. All of the forms are available at all locations of Jolly's Pharmacy, including Foccoli and Portsmouth. It's only $25 minimum to register. And we are running for a worthy cause. We are running to raise funds for diabetes through the Dominica Diabetes Association and to raise funds for sickle cell anemia, Sickle Cell Cares Dominica, that's that foundation as well. And so we are encouraging as many clubs, associations, committees, village councils, whatever group you form, you can come together and say, you know what, we're going to do that. We're going to be part of this run. And it's a 5K run. We're running, as I said, from the Kinfield, Massa Kinfield Government School onto the Eole Blanc Highway through Portersville, right? Adjacent to that of ACS Portersville, onto Federation Drive, and then we climax at Lindo Park. And that is happening on Saturday, the 27th. The 27th of April. And that is the last Saturday in April. And the run begins at 3:30, meaning we actually start the run at 3:30 in the afternoon. It is usually a lot of fun. People really, really, last year we had a really big crowd. We are anticipating an even larger crowd this year. Of course, there will be the police, there will be the Red Cross with their services as well. We'll have music with a DJ. We'll have water, so you don't have to think of walking with no water or bottle in your hand. You'll get that along the route. And we'll be having a lot of fun. It's all in raising funds for diabetes and sickle cell anemia. So register. Register, register, register. Get your name down on that paper. When you go, you say your name and you say what cause you want to run for. So if you're running for diabetes, you'll be wearing blue, a blue t-shirt, anything blue. If you're running for sickle cell anemia, you are to burgundy. Wear burgundy or red. Mm. Or if you want to run for both of them, then you can put
red
the two
and
colors.
Burgundy. And burgundy and blue, so you That's look like a true melee.
Right, so you'll be, that's it. So we want you to really be part of that. So far we've been getting some support from some of the companies throughout Roseau, and we really want to say thanks. I will give their names subsequently, but they have been showing support. We've got a call from the State College yesterday showing their interest in the 5K run. We want to hear from the other clubs, the Lions Club, the Rotary Club, the
JCI Dominica.
JCI Dominica, you have Toastmasters, you have what other club? The National Football Club, the Netball Association, the all these different basketball association, Dominica, all these different clubs. You know, we would love to see you mobilize your people and be part. It would be nice to see, you know, a busload of people from Grand Fall or from Grand Bay or from St. Joseph just decide, you know what, we're in that too, and we come on and we do the run. The more people we get, the more funds that we are going to raise. Again, the date is April 27th. That is a Saturday. The Easter hunt is on. We are having an Easter hunt that is happening on March 30th. That is next week, Saturday. It is happening at two locations of Jolly's Pharmacy. And we've chosen those locations because they have ample space.
Spacious.
And that is Portsmouth and Focoli branches.
Mega.
Children between the ages of 8 to 10. These are the children that are eligible. We are not... The first 10 children that arrive before the hour of 11 o'clock, these are the children we're taking. The first 10 children. And these children have to find the eggs throughout the store. The more eggs you get, then the luckier your chance of winning a gift certificate of $75. You can redeem it right away and shop. You can redeem it right away and shop. So again, that is happening March 30th at the Mega Store and JP North in Portsmouth. Children between the ages of 8 to 10 years old. Again, at 11 o'clock, the competition begins. That is in the morning. And a child, well, two children, will be eligible to win $75. All right. Tomorrow, Thursday, we are having... tomorrow, Thursday, we are having our dental exhibition outside of Jolly's Pharmacy. That is the pharmacy on King George the 5th Street. We'll be having a dental exhibition from 9 o'clock to just about 12 o'clock. So it will be a dental exhibition. We'll be able to see everything that is often used when you go to the dentist and all of the dental different products that are available as we celebrate Dental Health Week here in Dominica.
Oral Health Week here in Dominica.
Just a reminder, and we received some positive feedback in the week that there is an interesting group on island, and that is an AA group, Alcoholic Anonymous group. So if you are someone that is struggling with the abuse of alcohol, you have tried, you keep failing, you recognize that all of your money is being consumed by alcohol, it's causing a lot of friction in your family, your wife is about to leave you, your children are not talking to you, you have been maybe even threatened or warned about losing your job. Now you need help. And there is a very supportive group of professional people and people who are experiencing this very much like you. They meet every Thursday afternoon between the hours of 5 and 6 at the SME, St. Mary's Academy, room 103. Room 103. Now, if you want to make a phone call to speak to someone, I'm going to give you that number. That number is 225-8553. The number again is 225-8553. You may have a friend that you may want to share that number with, that you may want to talk to, or just give them that information. Feel free to do that. All right? So, last week, from all reports, they saw a spike in people actually coming to the meeting. And this week again, I felt I wanted to push it again because I think it's an awesome support group. So if you're suffering with alcohol abuse and you have really been struggling, you know you've been trying, but some way, somehow, you're not doing too well, there is an excellent supportive AA group here, and they meet every Thursday. So that is tomorrow between the hours of 5 to 6 at the St. Mary's Academy, room 103. The number again, if you need to speak to someone in that support group, that is 225-8553. So, Trudy, let the show begin. Yes. Let's take a short break, and then Trudy will introduce our guests and what we're talking about this morning.
Who say health cannot have vibes? Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With Health Vibes, every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health Vibes, education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando, with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan Defo and Trudy Christian. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday, so be sure to tune in. Every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare. Who say health cannot have vibes? Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With Health Vibes, every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health Vibes, education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting, lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lango, with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan Defo and Trudy Kristen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday, so be sure to tune in. Every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Introducing Jolly's Pharmacy, brand new website, www.jollys.dm. It's your time to jump the line. Shop now at jollys.dm and have your items delivered in the comfort of your office. No more standing in line. No need to use your lunch hour to shop. Hassle-free shopping, safe and secure. Jollys.dm features rush delivery, 1 hour. In-store pickup, regular delivery, 5 p.m. Cut-off time, 4 p.m. It's your time to jump the line. Visit us at www.jollys.dm. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.
Of course, this is Health Vibes right here on Q95 FM, and we have special guests lined up for you this morning on Health Vibes. Special guests in the house. This week is being celebrated as Oral Health Week, and the Ministry of Health, Wellness and Social Services, the dental health component of the Ministry of Health, they are putting on quite a bit of awareness efforts towards Oral Health Week. The theme being a happy mouth is a happy body. I don't know if anybody can disagree with that. I certainly agree. But joining us this morning is Dr. Yvette Lynn Dura, and she is a dentist, of course, working in the dental health services, component of the Ministry of Health. And we will also be joined in just a bit by another dentist who is no stranger to Health Vibes. That's Dr. Shannon John. But Dr. Dura, good morning to you. And welcome, of course, to Health Vibes.
Good morning, and thank you.
How has the week been going in terms of your activities for oral health?
So far, it has been a success. It's been very good. On Monday, we had the quiz competition. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say again, congratulations to all of the schools which participated. We had the eliminations held earlier in February, where from the 7 health districts, we had the 7 schools representing their districts at the finals. Mm-hmm. And the competition winners were the Cassibro Secondary School. Okay. In first place, we had in second place, the Cooley Mystery Primary, and in third place, the Wesley Primary School. Okay. But might I give you a piece of information? Today is International World Oral Health Day.
So today is the big day. Okay. Okay, so today's the special day, the big day in the week, and you all are choosing to spend it on Health Vibes. That's a big deal. Yes, that's a big deal. I know, of course, yesterday at the Dominica State College, there was another activity for Oral Health Week that went well.
Very. That was the debate. And there we got to hear a little bit of how persons view the cost of dental care yes, interfering with their dental health. Mm-hmm. But it was an interesting and exciting debate. As a Toastmaster, I do love a friendly oral competition.
So definitely the Oral Health Week activities have been inclusive of the young people, which you know, that is always good. And yesterday, the Dominica State College, and the day before, of course, the quiz competition. And we've been joined by the second dentist that we promised, Dr. John. Welcome back to Health Vibes for a repeat guest performance here on the show. Welcome.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me once again. Morning, Carlton. Morning, Judy.
Morning.
Morning to the listeners.
Well, Trudy, you know, this morning I had to make sure my teeth were very polished.
Carlton is going to ask you.
Dentists around.
You right. Know? Carlton is going to ask you if you, you know, if you have a fear of dentists like
absolutely
some other people
not.
Do.
No, I don't. I actually love the dentist.
Okay.
I love going to get my teeth clean.
Okay.
It's almost like I'm falling asleep.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
That's yeah. Cool. But we're happy to have these two dentists here. I know they are very passionate about what they do. We're happy to have you here in studios with us as we discuss dental care. I will start with Dr. Giro. Dental care has been spoken about for many, many years. Even when I was in primary school, I remember the dental hygienist coming in and giving us fluoride and giving us a toothbrush and teaching us how to brush our teeth. And that was always a part of the school system. And we were taught all these things. But how much do you see the general population putting attention into healthcare?
Into dental, oral health care. That's a very interesting question, because I think most persons tend to believe that their teeth are not important. Now, when we speak oral health, the first thing people think about is teeth. Your oral health, though, is your
whole mouth,
entire mouth. It is your teeth, your tongue, your cheeks on the inside, your throat. And oral health is very important because that is where your nutrition comes from. If you do not have a healthy mouth in general, it makes it difficult for your entire body to be healthy. And I think that's why the theme for the past 3 years has been a healthy mouth, a happy mouth, a happy body. Meaning that if your mouth on a whole is not properly taken care of, it's reflected in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are so many diseases that are reflected in the mouth that tells us the state of our body, but that is a little bit extensive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I won't think about that. But what I want persons to be mindful of, though, is the simple procedures of taking care of your mouth, brushing and flossing regularly, are some of the easiest ways that we can take care of our mouth. No, Trudy said that she's terrified of the dentist.
I'm not. Okay. Some people are, but I'm not.
I'm happy to hear.
No.
But if I might say, as a dental profession, no, because I'm a dentist, yes, for the past 12 years, but I was an assistant before that, meaning that I experienced dentistry from both aspects. And it is interesting that, if I might say, more than 80% of the public is terrified of going to the dentist.
More than 80%?
Yeah.
Wow.
That might be. Yes, it is actually. I think I was reading that. It says up to about 86%.
Wow.
And that is because most times people think of going to the dentist, they think of the needle. That's the first thing that comes to my mind when I go to the dentist. The other thing is we say, I go to the dentist and they cause me pain. But if you reflect, most times you come with the pain.
With your pain.
So, yes, going to the dentist might seem like a fearful thing. But often, we at the dental clinics actually help to alleviate that fear. But we do want persons to remember that your mouth is very important. Another thing that I would like to mention is some persons tell me, they take out the tooth and they will put another back. Extractions are not supposed to be the first thing. Please take care of your teeth, because if you don't chew properly, your body don't get healthy enough. Because half of the nutrients, you're going to pass it out. If you don't chew the food properly, the saliva cannot break it down. Your stomach doesn't have any teeth. I think God only put the teeth in our mouths.
Yes.
So when they go down without chewing them, it becomes a problem. And then you have to go more frequently to Jolly's Pharmacy to get nutrients and vitamins to reestablish those in the body, because your food is not able to bring them to you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I wanted to follow the whole concept of being afraid of the dentist, which we're bringing up. I wanted to follow that up with, how do we have experiences that are not related to pain? Like people coming in for pain, meaning they have a toothache, but I've never had that particular experience, and maybe that's why I don't have a fear of the dentist, because my only experiences have been for, you know, preventative routine care. So I just want to know, you know, what should be our aim as members of the population? What should be our aim for that interaction with dentists? Because we're not supposed to be waiting until we have pain, correct?
No.
So what should be the aim for our interaction with you guys?
Okay, I would like to speak of two aspects. Mm. The first one, parents are very instrumental.
Mm.
Because often parents believe that if the child doesn't have pain, they shouldn't go to the dentist.
Mm-hmm.
The unfortunate thing is when you bring the child, the first experience the child has at the dentist is related to pain, most likely an extraction, or the fact that they have to take the injection to get a filling done. First impressions are lasting impressions.
Mm-hmm.
And so the child grows up with the perception of going to the dentist equals pain. So your child's first teeth grows about 6 years of age. Sorry.
Six months. Mm-hmm.
So by the time that child is about a year, you should take them to the dentist. Why? Just to get them acquainted to coming to the dentist to get a checkup done, playing with the entire instruments and realizing that there is nothing fearful about that.
Right, okay.
The second thing is, do not wait for the pain as an adult. Sometimes I speak to people and they will tell you, but I don't have any pain, so I don't need to go to the dentist. A regular checkup is very important. If you come, we do a cleaning for you. Now you say, but I brush my teeth every time. I don't see why I need to go to the dentist to brush.
Can I volunteer?
Here's why you should. Your toothbrush bristles can only do the outside surface of your teeth, which is where flossing comes. But also the floss does not get below the gum level. So the plaque buildup starts right there. And by the time you get to the dentist with this stuff all over your teeth, it creates a little bit of a bad sensation. So visiting your dentist every 6 months is the recommended. And getting the children, just to get acquainted to the dentist, get acquainted to getting their teeth cleaned without all of the negative aspects, are two of the ways that we do avoid the negative perceptions that people have.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
And many times people say that, okay, I brush my teeth looks quite white from the outside, you know, I look at it on the mirror, it looks quite white, it looks normal color, I'm not seeing any plaque, and, you know, going to a dentist, you know, why should I have to do that? Even if I hear, well, okay, I have to come to the dentist, so visit the dentist at least twice a year to have it professionally cleaned. But is there more than cleaning that is often done in the visit?
Definitely. Now, what I heard you say is, my teeth are nice and white on the outside. And sometimes you go to the dentist and they say, but you have one cavity. And you say, but I brush my teeth every day, so how do I get a cavity?
Yeah.
And that's because your teeth are very close together in most instances. So if you do not get the cleaning done properly, professionally, the stuff stays in between and causes cavities. We have what are called interproximal cavities. That's just cavities between the two teeth. And you may go to the dentist thinking that your teeth are nice and white, only to find out that they are there.
Mm. So I see Dr. John nodding, yes.
Yeah. And I also oftentimes do x-rays are done of the teeth too. And that surprises many people that x-ray of the teeth. I didn't know that they can do x-ray of the teeth. That is done too. And you would also be assessing the gum health, because I know of cases where, you know, people have been told, well, you have gingivitis, and they've been given oral D, you know, they've been given other treatments and so forth because they have bleeding gum. Mm-hmm. And quite a bit of people do experience bleeding gum, and sometimes they might blame the toothbrush but not recognize that this symptom is a bit more than that. I want us to elaborate a little on that
on the gum
particular
health.
Symptom.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Wait.
No, I think I'll just like to speak on one aspect of that, and Dr. John can take the other. One of the things that I think that affects gum health, and I'm going to speak to the women in particular, because I did a small research on that and it was quite interesting. Women, you may think that brushing your teeth regularly is quite enough. But there are three stages in a woman's life where the hormones that are produced in the body actually makes it more easy for you to get gingivitis. And that is during puberty, when the estrogen level spikes, during menstruation, when your estrogen level is also very high, and during pregnancies. So sometimes you might find that at those times your brush and the gum is bleeding. That is actually the cause, because the high estrogen level reduces the body's ability to eliminate toxins. It increases the possibility of inflammation in the gums and also reduces the saliva production at those points. So if your health hygiene is not what it should be, your oral hygiene is not what it should be, you may find at those times you have a lot more bleeding. Mm-hmm. And often when you brush and it bleeds, persons are afraid of brushing, mm-hmm. so they stop.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does is it makes it worse, because if I don't remove the cause of the bleeding, it's going to bleed more. The more it bleeds, the less I brush, the more it bleeds. And that creates a vicious cycle that often persons might wonder why. Visiting your dentist actually helps to eliminate some of those, because the plaque that stays in the mouth, even if you were to brush, as I said, you don't get to brush in between the teeth. So that just stimulates even more of that in the mouth.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to follow that up with, what are now some measures that we need to take specifically to ensure optimal gum health? What should we be looking at for optimal gum health, since we're speaking about the gums now?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And continue here. So I'm just speaking from my own experiences.
Mm.
I've had patients come in. So this is your first clean. They never had to go to the dentist before because they never had toothaches. You know what Dr. Gerald mentioned a while ago. And come to find out, their back teeth, the gums around the back teeth are very inflamed.
Mm.
They don't pay attention too much to that, because to them, their front teeth are very white, very pretty. Mm-hmm. They can smile nice. They don't have any toothaches.
The teeth people can see.
The teeth people can see. But they forget to take care of the teeth that they chew on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to start encouraging them to come to the dentist very regularly and maintain those, you know, hygiene habits. And sometimes you have to convince them, because some people grow up with their own mentalities, thinking that, oh, I don't need to go to the dentist. I brush my teeth every day. I use my coconut oil to clean. I use, you know, all my natural medications, especially those people who are very, you know, adamant with natural medicines.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe, in their mind, they don't need the dentist. So these are things that we have to usually deal with, you know, encouraging people and convincing them to maintain hygiene. Another thing that affects gum health is one-side chewers. Like people who usually you chew on one side of their mouths.
Mm.
That is a very fun fact. Fun fact being, I learned it along the way.
Okay.
I learned it while practicing with, you know, dealing with patients.
Okay.
So it's a practical thing that I've learned. And I sometimes, while doing a cleaning, I sometimes ask, usually chew on this side? Yes. Or, you know, because this side is dirtier.
Oh.
If you know that old saying, a rolling stone gathers no moss.
Uh-huh.
If you apply it to the mouth, a rolling side of your face gathers no plaque. The opposite side, because it's not being used frequently, there's not a lot of saliva flow, the cheeks are not, the muscles of your cheek is not doing its appropriate job in terms of the auto-clean mechanism mm-hmm. that your mouth has, plaque builds up a lot more on the side that you don't use. Right, and while you might see spotless teeth on one side, the other side is severely affected. Another thing that affects gum health, well, according to what Dr. Dura was mentioning, especially with women, I've noticed that menopause has come into play a lot, where women who are menopausing tend to have a lot of issues with their gums, and primarily their gums, in terms of recession of the gums because of age, or just hormonal imbalances. So these are all things that we have to pay attention to. It's not any fault of the woman for being a woman.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are things that she can do, and anybody can, you know, do to maintain a proper hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your fault for being who you are, but it is your fault for not doing something about your maintenance,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things that we have to pay attention to,
mm-hmm.
right?
I also wanted to bring up two other risk factors that are very prevalent in dentistry, and that is smoking
and diabetes.
Because I know we've always encouraged diabetics particularly to have their oral hygiene checkup at least really twice a year, because they are more likely to develop periodontitis,
mm-hmm.
Which is one of the major complications, and they can lose their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
I want either of you to elaborate a little about that. And now we see it's a major spike in people smoking, and a lot of the times people have this notion that the teeth and gums is more likely to be affected by cigarette smoking and not marijuana
cannabis.
Oh, they're affected by both.
All right, so I just wanted to get you to talk a little on that too.
Okay, I'll take the smoking one, because I find it very interesting, because I've had to deal with a lot of young men, young men like myself, in recent times, and continuously encouraging them to at least give up the smoking. I've even had to come up with compromises and say, well, bro, if you don't want to stop smoking, brush your teeth after you smoke, please. Because, and then, you know, eventually you get into their mind, and they ease up on the smoking little by little. The compromise in itself is not the best one. However, it's a way to protect their gums and to protect themselves. Because what happens, the tar of smoke adheres to the teeth. And that now makes the teeth stickier and more brain fog. But makes it easier for plaque to build up.
Okay.
You know, in the gum line and on the back of your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, I've done many cleans for smokers, and they don't have cavities, not a single cavity.
Mm.
But their gums are bleeding, and they have a lot of stains that they have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And in their minds, if they don't have cavities, they really need to go to the dentist until it becomes so serious that their teeth are black and their breath stinks.
Mm-hmm.
And these things motivate them to come to the dentist. But you have to visit your dentist long before that. It shouldn't be a case where, man, I feel this is life or death now. I feel like I'm desperately in need of professional assistance. And then you go and see my dentist. Get your checkups long before that.
Mm-hmm.
If you know you're a smoker and it's difficult to give up the smoking, get your regular cleanings more regularly than other people. We recommend every 6 months for a regular client.
Mm-hmm.
Smokers should come in at least every 3 months. I usually recommend that.
Okay.
Because it stains the stains from tar build up way faster than regular plaque.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the issue of the heat from smoke. That constant application of heat to your gums is not healthy.
The constant application of that heat when you smoke damages your gums in a way that's a very slow but silent way that you don't even
pick up on what's going on before it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen chronic smokers, marijuana smokers, not cigarette smokers. I'm pretty sure you can imagine the kind of people I'm speaking about. You know, those chronic marijuana smokers who are natural and believe that their toothpaste is coconut oil and charcoal.
Religious and it's culture, right.
They've come to the dentist desperate for help, because why? Their front teeth are shaking. There's so much plaque built up in the area, and they cannot take the pain anymore. The first question I ask, do you smoke? It's obvious that they smoke, but you cannot assume. Do you smoke? Yes, I smoke. Since I'm 18 years, I smoke in. And probably the person is 60, 70 at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the things that happen. These are real life experiences that can happen to you if you do not take those precautions before time.
Mm-hmm. I see we have a caller. Let's see what this caller has to say. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for your patience.
Good morning, Mr. Lando.
Good morning to you, sir. Morning to you.
And good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
Okay, that's Teacher Lufa.
Hey, Mr. Lufa.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Lando.
Yes, sir.
One of the things I notice as a teacher is that parents depend too much on the teachers to do everything for them, including what you are talking about, health care. Mm-hmm. Okay, I remember in the days, let's say in the 70s, 80s, we used to check children with their nails and their teeth.
I went through that.
Yeah. But there are some parents who will tell their children before they leave home, did you brush your teeth? And so on, and so on. Right? But mm-hmm. I am enforcing what I'm saying there. Parents should take their responsibility seriously. Because when the teacher will have your child for 5 hours for the day, the teacher cannot take every lesson to especially if you have a large class of 20 or 30 children, to ask them to brush your teeth. I hope you understand what I mean. Mm-hmm. It is a parental responsibility to ensure that when you start them off, as the dentist said, from age whatever, it must continue until they become adults. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And that's a very good point that is yes. raised, the socialization process.
And the importance, you know, yes. the importance of instilling that proper, yes. Those habits, yes, from young. We have a listener who asked, or who commented on toothpaste, and the toothpaste that is used is important. I really, this is something that has been on my mind, and we do have the two dentists in the house. To address this, you go into the pharmacy. I go to Jolly's and I'm choosing my toothpaste. There's a wide variety. I want to buy mouthwash. There's also a lot of variety. What am I looking for, really? You know, are all those different things, brands. Not just the brands, you know, but you know, you'll see some say with this menthol and this, and one say it's for whitening, another one will say it's for stains, yes. How do I decide, or what am I prioritizing when I'm going and choosing a toothpaste? I particularly I think about taste of the toothpaste. Like, I have particular tastes of toothpaste that I appreciate, but from the dental perspective, the professional perspective, what do I look for when I'm buying my products?
Well, we can touch on that. All right, so fluoride-based toothpaste is always recommended.
Okay.
Fluoride does actually make your teeth stronger.
Okay.
Right, because the enamel is made up of certain crystals called hydroxyapatite crystals. Fluoride replaces the hydroxyl group, for those who know their chemistry, and makes it a fluoroapatite crystal, which is more durable.
Okay.
So your teeth are a lot less susceptible to developing caries. Now, in terms of different types of toothpaste, well, today there are so many different types of toothpaste, and we really have to be careful with the ones that we choose, because some people develop allergic reactions to certain toothpaste because of whatever ingredient might be in there. So it's not any toothpaste you just pick up and say, this is my toothpaste for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. If you start using a toothpaste and you notice you have sensitive teeth right after, maybe it's not a toothpaste for you. If you're using a toothpaste and maybe it makes your mouth burn, or it gives you blisters, something in it could be in too high a concentration for you, or you might be allergic to it. Mm-hmm. So these are the things you have to pay attention to in your own body. So it's not just pick up a toothpaste and say, oh, the doctor said I should use this one. So long as you have a fluoride-based toothpaste, you can go, you know,
different ways,
meandering, and looking for the one that suits you best. There are other natural toothpaste. I'm not against them, like the charcoal toothpaste, and there's one that they use, I think, is zinc or something, I can't remember it. Mercury is a mercury filled toothpaste I've seen on the market recently. is fluoride free, and I'm not in the position to disregard any toothpaste per se. I'm not a toothpaste maker. However, if it works for you, that's fine. Go ahead. Go right along with it. If it doesn't work for you, then maybe consider changing. Because the thing with these toothpaste, for example, that same mercury filled toothpaste I was talking about. I had a client recently who, that's what she says she is using. She banned fluoride toothpaste for a while and using a mercury toothpaste because fluoride blocks fluoride does different things to you. I can't remember what she told me at the time. However, I noticed the strength of the enamel and the ability of the enamel to hold onto a filling was a lot less than somebody else.
Okay.
Because every time I try to do a filling for this person, it wouldn't stick, it wouldn't stay. It really wouldn't stay. And it's the same material used for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I went researching. I'm trying to figure out what could be the issue. And turns out that fluoride has the property of also making the enamel more adherent to filling material.
Mm, okay.
Because the crystals are stronger. The crystals of the enamel are more solid, they're stronger, they can hold on to other materials, they won't chip away. So these are the things that you have to be careful with, all right?
Okay.
Do your research and choose the right one for you.
Mm-hmm. How much toothpaste is really? Because sometimes if we use toothpaste, and I like plenty of toothpaste, I don't know why. But I'll put some people would say a pea size, but I'll put on my entire bristle would be covered with toothpaste. And I generally use an electronic toothbrush, and I do my stuff. But is quantity, does it make a difference? Like, and another thing too, like for me, I use mouthwash at least twice a day. I do not use any alcohol-based mouthwash at all. Mm-hmm. Talk about the difference between the alcohol-based mouthwash, because we know the brand Listerine. A lot of people like that brand because of the intense burn. They feel like all the germs dying.
Mm-hmm.
But is that for everybody? Yeah. So I want to talk a little about that. The amount of toothpaste and the mouthwash.
And to add to the mouthwash, your listener is also asking about all the mouthwashes on the market now with the different flavoring, unconventional, tea tree, grapefruit. You know, what is your opinion? What are your opinions on that? So to add to Carlton's question as well.
Okay, well in that, the amount of toothpaste, recommended amount of toothpaste is a pea size amount.
So I wasted the toothpaste.
Yep. You're wasting toothpaste. The difference it makes is in your pocket. You finish a tube of toothpaste faster than somebody.
Yeah.
Than anybody else. Using more toothpaste doesn't get your teeth any cleaner. Unfortunately.
You hear that?
It might make you feel like your mouth is cleaner because of the sensation.
Uh-huh.
But it's really the brushing technique and how much time you spend brushing your teeth that makes a difference to your hygiene. Not so much the amount of toothpaste. So long as you have the recommended amount, you should be fine. In terms of the mouthwashes, the same thing applies. Look for the one that's right for you. Alcohol versus non-alcohol. What alcohol does, alcohol destroys life tissue. It dehydrates life tissues. It dehydrates significantly anything that has life. Anything that contains fluid or water dehydrates that. So the burning sensation that we are living for might not be the healthiest sensation. That's why a lot of dentists these days are recommending non-alcohol mouthwash, especially as with evolution, we see people are, I don't want to say people are getting weaker, but we've become a lot more sensitive
mm-hmm.
to certain materials and certain medications. Then you find somebody maybe abusing Listerine or maybe not to call it brand, but abusing an alcohol-based mouthwash, then they come to the clinic and say, but doc, look, my gums burn, you know, look, my gums blister, you know. And then in the interrogation, you go asking, okay, so what have you changed recently? That has happened to me as a matter of fact. I like to use practical examples. On a couple of occasions, patient has come, and then you start asking questions. What have you changed recently? Did you eat anything hot? Have you changed anything in your diet? And then a light bulb moment comes on. So, oh, I just bought that mouthwash the other day, you know. I say, show me. Sometimes they might have the picture on the phone. One time they had the picture, the other time I think they had to bring the mouthwash to me. Look to the back of the bottle, the alcohol, there's an alcohol content in there that probably is damaging them. Even if the chlorhexidine that we usually recommend is very good, it's anti-plaque, it controls bacteria in the mouth, but you also have to be careful with the content and the length of time that you use it for.
Because you will be destroying the good bacteria.
You will be destroying the good bacteria.
Yes.
So, everything in moderation, right? Don't overkill.
Yeah, because sometimes people, I used to be like that, very paranoid about my mouth, and would maybe brush sometimes 4 times a day, until my dentist said to me, "That's not necessary because you will cause an imbalance in flora in the mouth when you do that." But I see we have a caller here. Caller, good morning to you. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Tuti.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
I just want to ask the dentist a question. I have a bad habit at night, especially at night when I go into bed. I'll be brushing my teeth, but I'll leave the toothbrush and the toothpaste in my mouth for a long time. How long? And I sit down there watching TV and I forget myself. How long should somebody leave toothpaste in their mouth?
Interesting.
And another thing again, peroxide. Can somebody use peroxide like you dilute it to gargle in your mouth? What benefit and what non-benefit is peroxide to your mouth?
Good question.
Thank you, Paula. Okay.
Thank you, Carla, for that question. Now, I like the fact that you said you leave your toothbrush and your toothpaste very long in your mouth. How long should you brush? We say 3 to 5 minutes, but you see that habit she has? I am probably very sure that she's one of those who has very few cavities. Why? Because the longer you leave the toothpaste on the teeth, the stronger the bond that Dr. John spoke about between the hydroxyapatite in the enamel and the fluoride. So the teeth actually gets quite stronger. She may not have the pretty white teeth, or she may, but often the teeth color is of very little importance. We like white teeth. And so that's one of the things I wanted to mention on when Trudy said about the whitening in the toothpaste and everything. You may have white teeth naturally, and brushing actually helps to stimulate that, but that does not necessarily mean that the teeth is healthier. Persons who bleach often have the sensitivity, and they will have to use fluoride actually, a fluoride treatment, to help restore the teeth and to reduce the sensitivity. The color that we see in the teeth is just your dental inner pairing. That is the second layer. And often persons with those teeth give me quite a bit of a challenge if I have to do an extraction, because those teeth are usually a bit stronger. Now she was saying brushing 3 to 5 minutes, but my dear, I would recommend that you continue what you are doing because it is a very good practice. The second thing she spoke about is the use of peroxide. Yes, you can. It should be diluted, but it is not recommended for very long. So if someone chooses to use peroxide as a mouthwash, 1 to 2 weeks dilution, 1 cup to a glass of water. But after that, you should give your mouth a break, because the same thing we were speaking about with the mouthwash is we kill the good and the bad bacteria. Now, a lot of the mouthwashes say it kills 99% of bacteria. I would like to advise us that your mouth needs its regular flora, and that is bacteria. Your gut needs those bacteria as well. So if you remove all of them, what you will find is often They do it because they want to eliminate the odor, but that may stimulate odor more because the bacteria yes. help to break down the food. And if that's not broken down properly, then you have a whole set of issues happening mm-hmm. in the body. So we do not want to kill the 99%. We just want to kill the ones that are bad in the plaque, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that are not healthy for the body, those that cause the gum disease, those that cause the cavities. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to eliminate 99% of the bacteria because they are important.
Mm-hmm. While we're on this though, halitosis or bad breath mm-hmm. is a very common symptom that many people face. Mm-hmm. Because it can definitely interfere with their social, romantic life as well. Sometimes people may not be aware that they have halitosis. Sometimes they are. Sometimes we know of someone who does, and it's almost very difficult to have that conversation to the individual. How do you communicate to a loved one that, you know, they have halitosis or they should see a dentist, and what are the treatments that are available and what actually are some of the causes of halitosis?
Halitosis, bad breath, many causes. Now, someone may have bad breath because of poor oral hygiene. It may be that they need to visit the dentist. There are holes in the teeth that harbor germs and all of the foodstuff that we eat go in there. But that is not the only cause. As many times persons think that if there is a foul odor in the mouth, it has to be from your teeth. No. Your sinus could actually be draining at the back of your throat and causing bad breath. Mm-hmm. Persons who don't drink enough water, their mouths could be dry, which is called xerostomy, when either from not enough water or from lack of saliva production, that causes bad breath as well. Persons who have systemic diseases, mm-hmm. diabetics, persons who have liver or pancreas issues, persons with stomach ulcers. Mm-hmm. So bad breath is a wide cause. It has a wide set of causes. How do you tell somebody that they have bad breath? And I think that is the age-old question. Mm-hmm. That is the age-old question, because it can be a very sensitive topic to broach with somebody. Persons would recommend that you visit the dentist. Just ask the person, when was the last time you had a dental checkup? Probably take the person to the dentist. Mm-hmm. Or I think if you are very close to the person, you should have that conversation. Because if you were to leave it for somebody else on the outside, the way the person receives that information would be a lot more detrimental to them on a social level than if it were from somebody close to them. So you say, my dear, I observe that most times when you are speaking that there seems to be a smell. I'm not sure what is the cause, but you probably need to go to the dentist, because it may not necessarily be your mouth. And letting the person know that it may not necessarily be their mouth helps them to go faster, I think, mm-hmm. because if you need to treat what is the cause. If it's the sinus, then they would get the help for that. But if it was something more serious, like a systemic disease, then you would want to know that you are helping that person to avoid further damage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting.
Yeah, you could do like a client of mine and just book the appointment for them.
Wow.
Say, hey, I booked you an appointment with my dentist. We'll go and check them out.
And the person was receptive? What was the response?
I mean, in their mind, just time for a dental appointment, okay. A dental checkup.
So you can give it as a gift.
Mm. Yeah, you can give it as a gift. I mean, you obviously have to approach the person how they are approachable.
Right.
You don't do it with somebody who you know will react negatively to something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the person received it nicely. They're like, hey, my girlfriend made an appointment for me. I don't know what I have to do. I just go check out.
We see many people, especially grown-ups, still liking hard and extra firm toothbrushes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, they will tell you that is what they want to brush their teeth, you know, and mm-hmm. that they want to, you know, like when they use that, then they feel their teeth is clean. Mm-hmm. But we know dentists have not and often do not recommend extra firm and hard toothbrushes, but they're available. They're and still available.
Smokers' toothbrushes yes. are available.
Yes, they're available.
Before I knew better, that's what I was buying. Yes. So that same concept, Carlton, of thinking the harder the toothbrush, the better. I would actually purchase those labeled smokers' toothbrush. I never smoked in my life.
Yes.
And I'm buying smokers' toothbrush.
Yes.
The problem with those toothbrushes is one of the main side effects is gum erosion.
Mm-hmm.
And you have serious sensitivity on those teeth after. And you have to be very careful with what you allow into your mouth, with what you allow to, you know, take care of you. I've seen clients, and it takes a lot of convincing, as I said. I've seen clients come to the clinic, their gum is eroded, you spread it to air on the neck of the tooth and they jump, they shock. There's no cavity there. But the neck of the tooth is a very sensitive part. Why? The only thing that's protecting that area of the tooth was your gum, the gum tissue, because there's not much enamel under there. That's just basically dentine and maybe a thin layer of enamel. Enamel is the most protective layer of the tooth. The further down to the roots you go, the enamel thins out. So the dentine now, as porous as it is, transmits all these senses to the pulp or the nerve of the tooth. And when the gum leaves that area and it vacates its position because of the hard brushing, that happens. Now don't get me wrong, using a soft toothbrush or even a medium toothbrush incorrectly can also cause that.
Mm.
But it's more common when people use very hard toothbrushes and incorrectly. I've also seen people who say they use a hard toothbrush but you don't see any erosion of their gum line because of the technique they use and how they brush. They don't go brushing all directions, you know, damaging the gums.
Do you believe that most of us know the proper way of brushing? Because I don't think most of us do.
I don't think so either. It's a work in progress. It's a work in progress in terms of from children growing up with the school dental program, children are taught how to brush. By the time they get to high school, they forget. Sometimes they see their parents brush in a certain way and they adapt to that style. Another thing is they come to you as an adult and you encourage them to brush a different way. And the first thing they say is, well, I brush my teeth this way all my life. And you can see the results, the negative results of the inadequate brushing technique. And you try to convince them. But it usually takes, you know, more than one session just to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Others, they latch onto it one time. Others, they're a little more reluctant. So it's a culture.
Yeah.
Everybody likes what they like. they stay used to what they know. But not everything that we know is
the proper way. Yeah, I think
there is that issue.
I think it's worth, you know, a whole education effort similar to the hand washing technique.
Yes.
Because of the pandemic, you know, people then started to see how you're supposed to wash your hands properly, you know, technique that, you know, most of us maybe never even knew. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's, you know, worthwhile for in terms of how to brush your teeth to
some
be a
videos.
Campaign. Yes. I see we have a caller coming through. Caller, good morning.
Hello, morning.
Yes, good morning. Good morning.
You?
We're doing quite well.
Good morning to the two doctors there.
Good morning.
One of the doctors recommended that you give somebody a gift to go to the dentist, just like how we get gift for pedicure and so. Now, I want to put a little challenge to Carlton.
Yes.
Mother's Day and Father's Day is coming up. So when you're on your Health Vibe show and advertising these chocolates and so, I think you have to begin to push that vibes now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give your mother, your some good friend, your family, let's give them a gift to go to the dentist, and I suppose that will pick up after a while.
I think so. Thank you so much. Thank you. I wanted to ask, though, as well, hot and cold,
mm-hmm.
Does it affect the teeth. Mm. So you might be eating a hot food, because some people say they like their food hot, you know, eating a hot broth. You know, you put pepper in that and that tastes good. But at the same time, you have a big hot and cold Coke there, mm-hmm. and you're drinking at the same time. Is that a bad practice? Can that affect the quality of your teeth?
It can trigger something called hyperemia.
What does that mean?
It's an inflammation of the pulp, very slight, due to an overstimulation.
Mm-hmm.
I like to use an example of, let's say, a sprained ankle, or twisted ankle.
Mm-hmm.
If you probably walked badly or not practice, you know, good sports for a while, and you go just jumping off a flight of stairs or something, and you twist your ankle, it's kind of like that. You inflame the pulp over time. It doesn't do much at first, but the pulp is triggered, because remember, the tooth is one of your first sensory organs.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed for that, you know, to pick up stimulus. So the overstimulation with extra hot and an extra cold might not do anything now, in the first instance or immediately. But there'll come a time that maybe you just find, well, I feel a cramping on the side of my mouth, you see any cavities or anything. And it could just be that, and you're going to end up needing some corrective treatment just to calm down the pulp a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But and I would also like to see, because it's when you take extremely hot, what heat does is it actually expands whatever is in there. So just imagine your teeth were expanding a little bit, and then you take the cold and it contracts. The enamel is a hard substance. If you keep doing that, what happens is cracks are actually formed in the enamel. So you may end up with a Heelan fracture without having had trauma to the tooth. And doing this over and over actually leads to cracking and then fracturing of the tooth. So you may bite into something hard that you were always accustomed of doing, and you heard a sound and felt pain. The teeth literally cracks. So sometimes you have persons coming in and it's fractured open. So that is one of the very bad practices. But as well, though, extremely hot is not for the mouth. The same thing that smoking does, it overstimulates the tissues, the cheek especially, and the tongue. And so sometimes persons come with these white patches inside of their mouth, leukoplakia, that if you do it too often, may lead to oral cancers.
Wow.
So here some persons say, I love my food straight from the pot. But that is not a very good practice. So the same way smoking can cause oral cancers, extremely hot things in the mouth can actually cause the same thing.
Wow.
Interesting, yeah. Yeah.
Just to mention that, why when the topic of oral cancer, there's a study I read a couple of years ago. Oral cancer is very prominent in England and many of the colder European countries. Why? Because they consume a lot of hot tea straight from the pot. That is the direct, you know, correlation to hot things in your mouth. So yeah, that's something we have to be careful with. In Dominica, I haven't seen many people with it. I think we suffer too much from those lesions. But there are societies where their culture
is prevalent.
Hot and spicy food. So places like England, even in India, where they consume a lot of spice, a lot of pepper. That damages the tissues of your oral cavity.
I have another question quickly, though.
And I have one.
Oftentimes people see, oh, I went to the dentist and my tooth was hurting me somewhere. I tell them to take out that teeth. I don't like that teeth. I want it out. And they want me to keep that teeth. You know, and nobody that's going to see it right at the back there. Why is it that dentists often want to encourage us to keep our teeth, irrespective of our age?
Carlton and I want to, because that I was, my question was going to be in line with missing teeth. So let me just put the part B, yeah. So the two parts can be answered. Why the dentist encouraged to keep the teeth? And secondly, if people have missing teeth, what can be done in terms of replacing or filling that gap? Because like in the debate yesterday, you know, there was reference made multiple times to people walking around with missing teeth, mm-hmm. you know. So what can be done? So two-part question there.
All right. In response to the first part, why we encourage you to save your teeth goes back to what Dr. Gerald was saying a while ago. You need your teeth to chew. You need your teeth to function properly. One missing tooth can affect your digestion in ways that you couldn't imagine. One missing tooth can trigger other things. But what happens? The mouth is designed in such a way that each tooth has a partner to lock it in, right? So you have your neighboring teeth, and then you have the one either opposite at the top or opposite at the bottom. You lose one, it basically you're removing one tooth from that sequence, and it unlocks, just to make it a simpler thing,
it's like
it
a chain
unlocks the tooth. Mm. It's like a chain
it's
reaction.
Like a link.
It's a link. So when you remove one, either the tooth next to the one that you've removed can start to move forward, backward.
I never thought
if
of that.
If you remove a tooth from the bottom, the tooth at the top will be looking for its partner at the bottom. It's going to start dropping.
I never thought of that.
That's mm-hmm. what happens. Mm. It starts dropping millimeter by millimeter. Sometimes after 2 years, the patient comes back and says, "But doc, I feel like I chewing and that tooth at the bottom is hurting me, man." Then you ask them, how long ago did you remove this tooth at the bottom? Maybe about a year or two ago. Then you look at the top, you see this tooth coming, you know, dropping down a little bit. So it's now occluding prematurely.
Right? That's interesting.
It's knocking prematurely. So there's no harmony. You get rid of the harmony of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So apart from digestion, you have that harmonious correlation of your teeth. So it's always best to save your teeth.
Because people always think that doctors are to make more money on,
no.
You know, so you get that all the time. You know, they say, oh, the doctor tell me I have to do a bridge or I have to do this, I have to do a canal. I just want the tooth out.
Extraction.
But now that you've explained it, I get that picture much clearer.
As I told a client this recently, like, you really think I want to go through this process with you? I mean, it's time consuming. To do a root canal on a tooth is time consuming. It takes about 2 or 3 visits. Each time you have to go through the same, you know, procedure and, you know, make sure the tooth is well taken care of and so on. Just to make sure the patient, the client, is satisfied at the end of the day. These procedures are not simple, and they take a lot of material, which will justify their cost. But it's not because we want the money. Because we see the importance of, in my case, it's because I see the importance
of saving the tooth.
Mm-hmm. Because it's always better to have your natural occlusion than replacing it something with something that might not be what, you know, God set you up with.
Mm-hmm.
There are cases where you need to remove something to maybe realign your occlusion and so on. There are those drastic cases. But if it's a case where you have a toothache and you want to remove the tooth, that sets a bad precedent for you, for your own self as the client, and for your own mouth.
Another thing is, and I don't think that's something that most people take into consideration, the jaw. Your jaw is actually meant to sit one on top of the other. If you are missing too many on one side, it does not sit properly on that side. So just imagine that you're leaning on your elbow. Now, that might not bother you today, probably not tomorrow. But if you were to do that for a week, eventually you're going to put a strain in that shoulder.
Uh-huh.
And that's the same thing that happens in the mouth. We have two hinges, and that's why our jaw goes up and down. If we have taken out too many teeth on one side, there is a strain on the side that has the teeth, but also a strain on the side without teeth, because it's looking to sit properly. And what we end up having is persons with temporomandibular joint disorder, TMJ disorder. So they may find that their jaw hurts very early in the morning, or you might find that sometime during the day you have this excruciating headache. and you cannot seem to find what is the cause. And that may just be because you've removed too many teeth and they are not biting properly, they're not sitting properly. And so they would need to replace those missing teeth to replace the harmony that exists in the mouth. Because your teeth, if you see, they are always close together and they are bonding with each other. Once they start moving, that disrupts the balance and that creates struggles in the mouth, the joint. That's
there. And the second part of the
question was about the replacing of the teeth. Yeah.
So replacing, there are many options. There is the one that goes in and out, that's the dentures that's put on, and there are different types. There is the fully acrylic, or there are those with metal bases. You have the crowns that can be done, crowns, and there are also implants for persons. The crowns, bridges, and implants are those that are not removable. All replacements, though, are done in the private sector.
Okay.
So the implants, you said, so it's not like a typical denture, you have to take it out to soak and all of that.
It's permanent. It's not just... So there is a titanium put in the jawbone that acts as a tooth, and the crown is placed on top of that.
And that's that. It is that available in Dominica?
Yes, it is. In
private.
Wow.
She said, yeah.
That must be very costly.
But I mean, to me, depending on the tooth.
Yeah, because if one of my teeth at the front comes out, I will do that.
Okay. Most definitely.
So I understand. And you don't have to think of taking up dentures or your denture falling at a cemetery. You know, like singing a song, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, there's so many more questions that we can ask. But it's 11:34. Our time has actually gone. And it was really, you know, I'm just going to give you a few seconds to give some closing remarks as we celebrate Oral Health Week here in Dominica.
Okay, well, as we celebrate Oral Health Day today, I want to take the time out to wish a happy day to all my colleagues, other dentists in the different sectors and the assistants, to all my clients, prospective clients, and those who are still thinking of coming to the dentist, maybe you're afraid of something. Be afraid of losing your teeth more than you're afraid of the dentist. As I usually tell many people, the dentist is your friend. We try our best to help you, we try our best to keep you smiling. There's nothing to be afraid of. Dentistry these days is a lot easier and a lot more friendly. So don't let these things deter you.
Thank you.
And I would just like to let persons to remind them that despite the fact that you're afraid of the dentist, and I tell that to persons quite a bit, let your toothbrush be your friend. Because if you are so scared of visiting the dentist, I think you should be one of the persons spending the most times doing the brushing and the flossing. Because those are the simplest, easiest, pain-free, less discomfort ways that you can take care of your teeth. Brushing regularly, at least twice for the day. Flossing at nights before you brush helps to remove the plaque in between the teeth. Eat healthy foods, because many times we eat the snacks, they taste nice, but they are not that healthy for the teeth. Give the children snacks, healthy snacks, buy a cane and peel it for them rather than giving them a buster. And doing those simple things makes a big difference in your oral health. I tell persons often, if I were only to do cleanings, I would be happy. Because it is not... it's not a fun thing seeing someone in pain and knowing that you have to do a procedure that may be discomfort for the person. They will have the injection, but it's not always a very pleasant thing to do an extraction. So take care of your oral health. That is your responsibility. I can only help. But when you come to the dentist for the other maybe 364 days of the year, you are with your toothbrush. So that should be your main tool, your toothbrush and your toothpaste and
your floss.
And we should be healthy. We should be happy. A happy mouth, a happy body.
Correct.
Well
correct.
Said.
Yes.
So here you had it again on today's episode. We were discussing oral health care, things that we all should be doing to ensure that our mouths are happy, that we can smile healthy with confidence and don't choke the laugh, or the, you know, like when Trudy smiles and laughs.
Take those pictures with a big smile, you know?
Yes. We don't want to see the palm of your hand, you know, as a glove. We want to make sure that there is nothing that separates you from that smile. So you had it. I think if you want to see Dr. John, his office is on Castle Street.
Yes.
Castle Street, right opposite the Macmillan gas station in Roseau. And Dr. Dura is with the government system.
Currently, services are being offered at Granby. St. Joseph, Portsmouth, Casabrus, and Salibia.
Okay.
Roseau is
suspended for now.
Currently.
All right. So, and with the government service, is it free or do they have to
pay? Children 0 to 18 and adults 60 and up, services are free of charge.
Okay.
There is a minimal cost for persons in between those age groups.
That's I'm sure
$20 for a cleaning is
right. So we want to say thank you so much for listening to us this morning on Health Vibes. As always, your health is indeed your greatest resource. Preserve it. Have a good morning, everybody, and remainder of the week. Take care of yourself. Bye bye.
Who say health cannot have vibes? Well, Jolly's Pharmacy is proving you otherwise. With Health Vibes, every Wednesday morning on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Health Vibes, education, information, and a bit of humor. And not forgetting, lots of vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando, with co-hosts Jacinta Fagan-Defo and Trudy Kristen. Jolly's Pharmacy is bringing health and vibes together every Wednesday, so be sure to tune in. Every Wednesday on Q95 from 10 a.m. to 11:30. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare.